Addicts clean, are you listening? Sober drunks, noses glistening. A beautiful show, we're right here, you know. Recovery 101, a wonderland. Gone away is the old life. Here to stay is the new life. We do a fun show, we're right here, you know. Recovery 101, a wonderland. In the meta, we can build a program and pretend that it's from Jimmy K. He'll say, are you sober? We'll say, no, man. But Bill can do the job the AA way. When we're clean, ain't it thrilling? Sober drunks are a-chillin'. We'll frolic and play the recovery way. Recovery 101, a wonderland. Recovery 101, a wonderland.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
You've heard it before. You're going to hear it again. It's thank you to Shelley and Bruce for the Recovery Wonderland jingle. Well, Recovery 101 does not speak for AANEOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAFA. Did I do that last show? I don't think I did a disclaimer
nope,
last
sure
show.
Didn't.
We don't speak for anybody but ourselves, which isn't normally a good thing.
Other than the last show where we spoke for everybody because you didn't do a disclaimer.
Well, then there you go.
That's fine.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelly.
And Mark.
Sweet.
Dude. Sweet.
Okay.
What's up?
So, Shelly got an early Christmas gift.
Yeah, the Bengals won today. Was that her Christmas gift?
No, but they won last week, too. 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row, hooday.
What did you get last week? I forgot.
They're still not mathematically eliminated. Yeah. Huh?
Oh, didn't they play Cleveland?
Yeah.
Today was the Browns.
Who's
yeah
now 0-11?
They're 0-11?
Cleveland, yeah.
Oh, well, congratulations on beating the worst team in football.
Cleveland's 0-7, 2017.
And Bears are like...
Bears got thumped today.
Well, they're less than 500
yeah
anyway.
Yeah, Philadelphia... The best team in the NFC thumped them.
Yeah. How's Green Bay doing?
Green Bay was winning when I came here, but they lost their quarterback and their two running backs and one of their receivers. And
no, but I mean the rest of the year, how are they doing?
They're fine. They're in the hunt.
Oh.
Yeah, they lost their quarterback like the third week of the season.
Rams.
Rams won today. Powerhouse.
Doing well, right?
Tennessee Titans moved into a tie for first place today.
Ah, good.
By the way.
Good. Because they got beat last week, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah. Rams doing well, right?
Rams are doing well. They beat New Orleans today.
Are they in first place in their division?
They are.
That just chaps Shelly's hide right there. She has no love for the Rams.
Gotta have love for the Rams.
Now, how are the Chargers doing besides losing half the games they could have won in the last moment?
Chargers right now are probably the best team in a wild card position in the NFL.
Really?
Yeah, they're playing really well right now.
Shelly, there could be two Los Angeles teams that make the playoffs.
No, the Chargers will make you happy, though, because this last week they just kicked the crap out of the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, did they?
Always makes me happy.
Oh, well, our friend Ken will love that. So, Shelly,
what?
It's a tell about your Christmas present, and then you told nothing. You said, oh, I got two.
What'd you get?
No.
Okay.
No?
I was about to, and then you guys started talking about football.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
and
well,
I
here
got
you
distracted
go
because the Bengals won. Hooday.
Okay.
And then I ignored everything else.
Actually, hooday is what made me start talking about football.
Yeah,
you didn't get football
no
from me.
You said you already got a Christmas present, and he said, "Yeah, the Bengals won," and that's when
oh
I said, "Hooday!"
Oh,
and then
oh
it was football talk.
And
after
then,
that,
since
I
we had
you
all chimed in on football, we thought it was something we were going to talk about.
Yeah, well,
if you hadn't chimed in, we'd have moved to something else.
Oh well, what'd I only
you,
had
you,
one thing to contribute.
Tell you about your early Christmas present.
Well, I got up this morning and the coffee was already made, and I was all excited. Even though Bruce took a cup when he left to go and do his thingy,
window painting,
I was willing. I thought that you know him taking a cup of my coffee with him was a good price to pay for having the coffee already made. So then I went to make the evening pot, and the coffee maker did that gurgle sound that it makes when it's starting to suck the water up, and then it went poof.
Oh.
And the light was on, and nobody was home. It whatever, you know, the and whatever is in there burned out. The power was still working, but
got it.
So I had a major catastrophe, and I called Bruce, and he said, "Well, you know, I have a brand new coffee maker. I was going to give it to you for Christmas." I'm like, "Well, Merry Christmas early. Bring it home." So I got a new coffee maker, so I'm very excited.
Nice.
What else happened?
I know what else happened.
I also got a lovely pair of Peridot earrings that I picked out myself.
I know. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
I went to church.
I know what's about to happen.
What?
Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze. What?
In the middle of a sentence. Oh, it's time for the boozy news. Nope, shut up, bitch. Hold up, bitch. It's time for the news.
Hooday.
Sometimes I wish there was a webcam in this.
Okay,
studio.
Well, guess I'm not going to finish my thought. All right, let's go. We have shout-outs, too. Damon, Johnny, Stryker, Alexandria, Rain? Randy, and Jane Lynn. Georgette,
Rain.
Jack, Fran, Bill, Robert, Renee, Sally, Dakota, Susan, Mitch, Joey, Damon, Lisa, John, Carol, Natalie, and Roger.
Is that Randy turning female, or is that
it's Randy
female?
And Jane.
Is that Jane turning
sort of
male?
Morphed. It's Rain.
Rain. Let it rain. Make it rain.
Make it rain.
Purple rain.
You know, Shelly took a pole dancing class one time, and she said, those strippers don't get paid enough.
Yes. That was a lot of work. It was way more work than I was expecting or prepared for. Let's see. From here on out, these are all me because Fran was the only one who sent anything in, so that was why the last show was all Fran. Oh. In Tewksbury, Maine, 33-year-old woman named
Tewksbury,
Maine, named Andrea Rigo. She's been arrested. She was accused of trying to pick up her niece from cheerleading practice. That's not necessarily a crime.
I was going to say, what's wrong with that?
That's not necessarily a crime unless you are drunk and you flee from the police with your niece in the car, repeatedly flee from the police because she did this cute little thing where they were coming up to pull her over. She'd pull over. The minute they'd get out of their car, she'd drive away. She did that multiple.
That's so cute.
And I'm thinking, okay, she's done it once. You'd think that the cops would be calling for cars to come from the opposite direction to box her in because she does it once, shame on her. She does it twice, shame on you because you're not paying attention.
Should they have shot out the tires?
Well, they could have done something. But she did it several times. This is actually her third DUI. They finally got her pulled over.
If she was in California, that would be her last DUI because she wouldn't be driving anymore.
Yeah, they finally did get her pulled over, and the child's mother was called to the scene to pick up her child. She's, you know, 14-year-old kid. There were bottles of Caldwell's vodka on the floor of her Trailblazer.
That just doesn't even sound good.
Ugh. No, that sounds like the store brand Stoli or whatever.
Like Rite Aid vodka.
Yeah, exactly.
Rite Aid vodka.
Pretty much. Now, the interesting part of this story I found was that she attempted to direct her own field sobriety test.
Perfect.
Because the police officer first asked her to demonstrate.
I know my rights.
To demonstrate the one leg stand. She said she agreed to do that, and then she did the 9-step walk and turn, although she had not been instructed to do that. They then tried to do other tests, and she kept doing the 9-step walk and turn.
I have a hard time with the one-legged stand, bend your head back. I will pitch over almost every time.
Well, she has been she was arrested and then released on her own recognizance with instructions to return to the court.
And not drink,
yes. I think that would probably
go
without saying.
She should go to Aurora Charter Oak Hospital and check in and not speak for 4 days.
Exactly. Yeah.
My friend Tom was amazing at field sobriety tests. This guy would be hammered, and he would just do everything. Just do everything.
Yeah.
Walk the straight line. Walk stand on one hand.
Walk a curved line.
Yeah.
That'd screw you up, wouldn't it?
That would.
Walk a curved line. Which way?
Yes, there's a video, and it's supposed to be real drunk driving. It's obviously a setup, but, you know, the gal's like, I want you to do this, and the guy does this, and you go, I want you to walk a straight line. She goes, no, I want you to walk a straight line. I want you to do a little hump jump to the left. So he does it, and then she goes, oh, that was pretty good. You know, can you do a little moonwalk for me? And the guy's doing it, and so they're both doing all these things, and she goes, okay, now I need you to do the moonwalk, the hump jump, and I need you to do this back over. He goes, I could do that if I hadn't drank so much. He goes, oh! God damn, you got me.
Yeah. Here's an interesting and rather frightening story. You know that a couple of weeks ago, North Korea did a nuclear test.
Well, this show could be repeated many times.
That's scary enough as it is.
However, they did that nuclear test in an area where people lived, worked, and went to school.
What?
Reports are slowly
above ground or underground?
Above ground test.
In a country the size of Korea, they did an above ground test?
Stories are starting to leak out.
They nuked their own people.
Yeah. Stories are starting to leak out from North Korea.
Depending on which way the wind's blowing.
The dark web and various, because they've got a complete net. You know, when you're in North Korea, you only get their internet. You get nothing else. But stories are starting to leak out here and there, accompanied by pictures in many cases, people smuggling their stories out. Dozens of people have been killed.
More than dozens.
What happened was they did the nuclear test. They did not evacuate any of the people from the nearby town. The impact of the blast triggered a 6.2 earthquake. Buildings collapsed. A school building collapsed. Kids are killed. I mean, they're still digging people out.
Yeah, but which way is the wind blowing? Because that could, anyone that is in the direction of the wind, it could be China, it could be South Korea, it could be, luckily for them, they're on a peninsula, but still, I mean, the depending where the wind's blowing, I mean, there's going to be radiation fallout somewhere. It's not going to be right where they were.
No. The UN has accused North Korea of failing to warn locals of an imminent nuclear test and not evacuating children who were actually in their classroom when their building collapsed because of the bomb.
Wow. I didn't even hear this.
I just heard about some of this stuff today. There was the story that I got was off of was it an AP story off of the ABC
that
website.
Is just
North Korean hospitals are being flooded with soldiers from this who were not shielded during the test. They have radiation sickness from the fallout. Now, here's the worst part.
Because this part wasn't bad enough.
This part wasn't bad enough. After this test, some scientific experts looking at this say that it is quite possible that they could successfully put this bomb onto a warhead that could reach the U.S. within weeks. They will be able to do this within weeks.
Yeah, of course.
And
it would never make it here, but yes, they could.
Well, it could reach here. Now, here's
the... It would have the ability to reach here. It wouldn't have the actuality of being able to reach here.
You know, that goes back to one of those things when you say, when people say, oh, it could reach the United States. Well, yes. But, you know, we have a launch defense system that is meaning to stop hundreds of Soviet or Chinese nukes.
No, we don't.
What?
Yes, we do.
What do you mean, no, we don't?
When did we get that?
We've had it for 30 frickin' years.
Since the 50s. Yeah. Well, not
we've had the good one for 30 years.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Star Wars? Because that never did anything.
No. We're talking about...
SDI.
We're talking anti-missile missiles.
Oh, okay.
We have enough of them to conceivably stop a full-scale nuclear strike from either China or Russia, as they do to prevent us from attacking them.
And then which way is the wind blowing them?
They don't arm until they're right above. What I'm saying is one missile coming over, a random F-16 could probably take it down.
When survivors
outside of our atmosphere,
F-18, F-22 now, I guess.
When survivors of the blast complained to their local government officials that their houses had fallen down, they had no place to live, and their no skin food, is peeling and they were off? Sick. They were told, officially told by the government, to put up tents and get back to work. Yeah.
You
and
know,
people wonder why. I mean, honestly, we should just take that.
Dennis Rodman says he's a nice guy.
This
Dennis
is, you
Rodman
know what? This is going to be
on
this is going to be one of those
drugs,
things,
psychotropic
though.
Drugs.
This might be the thing that really tips the hand to the Chinese, because above ground nuclear tests on a country that's got a border with China. That's what I'm saying. Depending which way the wind's blowing, China may just go in there and go, you know what? F you, you're done.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Wow,
hopefully we all live through it.
You know what? That's like one of the
you
most intense.
You should look up some of the stories that I read today on it. Because
that's
I was
one of the
I
most intense things I've heard in like almost all time. I mean, that's like ridiculous. That's not even like Chernobyl, you know, frying and causing a big nuclear disaster. Testing a bomb above ground in a country that's like the size of California, or nowhere near California, right?
It's about the size of North Dakota.
Yeah, I mean, how can you know? We would test things out in the middle of the desert, 160 miles from something, you know. And it's like, you know, they don't, you know, 160 miles, you can practically drive across Korea.
Okay, now we're moving on from North Korea now. I think we've scared our audience quite
Holy
enough.
Holy crap.
Illinois.
Doesn't scare me, but it makes me feel horrible for them.
Julie Gagne, 47 years old, has been accused of insurance fraud and filing a false police report and arson.
That's a bunch.
Yeah, she went to a restaurant, came out of the restaurant, called the police, and said that her car was missing. What had actually happened was she didn't like the Infiniti SUV she had purchased and decided that she was going to drive it a ways away from the restaurant where she was going to be, set it on fire with a flame torch that takes 3 gallons of fuel and napalm. Napalm.
Wow.
She owned a flamethrower that uses napalm.
That'll do it.
It
was grandpa's.
I think all flamethrowers use napalm.
Yeah, that's the whole idea.
Okay. How she got a flamethrower, I don't know.
Just grandpa's during the war.
Possibly. Torched the car, went and had dinner.
Yeah.
Go to any survival store, you can get a
reported
thrower.
The vehicle stolen. The
because, of course, someone's going to steal a new car and then just go napalm
now,
it.
Now, she napalmed this car, went and had dinner, so she's there for, what, an hour, hour and a half? Then calls the police, reports her car stolen. Half an hour later, they find the car still burning. Like a half mile down the road.
Well, yeah, because it's got napalm in it.
Apparently, she did not like the vehicle and was hoping the insurance company would then pay for it and she could get something different.
She would have been
looking
better.
Up to see if there's pictures of the napalm car.
She would have been better to find some dope fiend somewhere and say, I need someone with a chop shop because they don't actually.
I just typed into my Google search. Flamethrower for sale. There's a company called throwflame.com. It's not that hard to get a flamethrower.
Throwflame.com?
It's not that hard to get a flamethrower.
Oh, my God.
Well, it says in the story that it's not illegal to own a flamethrower, and I'm just thinking, yeah, but where would you get one?
No, yeah, they're like $300.
Oh. Yeah. But, hey, Mom asked me what I wanted for Christmas.
But what are they telling you? What is this for? Like, weeds in the backyard? Or, I mean, what would you...
Killing spiders under the root eaves of your mobile home?
The X15 is the first ever commercially available personal flamethrower. Buy your own high-quality flamethrower that shoots a 50-foot inferno of fiery napalm. It ain't that hard to get.
You know what?
Gotta see how much
the
X15. What's the
practical
application?
I gotta
see how much the X15 costs.
Yeah.
You know what the horrible thing is going to be?
Oh, it's $1,500.
Oh.
Yeah, that's cheap to some terrorist.
50-foot napalm flame.
Wow. I didn't even realize we were still making
yeah,
napalm.
Yeah, you don't want someone to pull that out in a
Each
subway.
Each flamethrower is individually tested and certified so you can buy with confidence.
Wow.
So you can torch your SUV with
See,
confidence.
That's a, no, you know what? That's as scary as a nuclear test.
Yeah.
That's some terrorist cell is going
to
buy those
They come
those
with
things.
Three interchangeable wand tips that allow you to adjust the range and efficiency of your flamethrower. personalized to your specific application.
What is the application,
though? Yeah, I was going to say, what
What's
are they suggesting you do with this? Does it say? For all your, for you know, for your nasty neighbor.
Don't.
Interested in buying more than two, contact us about a special bulk discount.
Jeez, Pete. Oh, my God.
Your neighbor will never complain about your about your music again.
I love this site. They have the pyro package.
The pyro package.
The standard flamethrower pyro package.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. We're all going to die. Gonna die.
You understand there are satellites linking up all over, and I'm going to get investigated for
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're going
to
be like,
I did this
hell?
As a service to all of you. I will send people right to this show. This was for nothing more than just to help support the news.
Which we should get back to, actually.
Yes.
Yes. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, George Sukow, 37 years old, got himself locked into a New Mexico Walmart on purpose.
Was he going to cook meth?
No. Got himself locked in on purpose, and then things got weird. Because, you know, purposely getting yourself locked in a Walmart is not weird enough. He spent the evening eating chocolate and drinking soda, and then he opened a pack of adult diapers, put one on, and then headed to the baby supply aisle where he opened diapers, wipes, pacifiers, and bottles. Finally, at some point, he walked past a motion alarm, and when the police arrived, he was found sitting on the floor in the store's bathroom in his diaper. He has been charged with commercial burglary, even though I don't see how
trespassing.
Maybe,
how do you get charged with burglary when
didn't,
you didn't?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Did he eat anything? He ate stuff.
That's a separate charge. That was called merchant damaging of merchandise at $156.
No, damaging of merchandise is going to be wearing the diapers and using a pacifier. I'll bet the burglary is eating the product because you wouldn't have to leave the store to have actually stolen the item because you stole it and ate it right there.
Well,
as long as you dump it before you leave.
That's true.
You could process it and
that's right.
Deposit it.
No, it's just defacing, which is a misdemeanor.
You'd leave it in the diaper for them.
Interestingly enough, that particular Walmart had a delayed opening for Black Friday. This happened, I guess, on Thanksgiving.
Awesome.
Okay, this story is for Bruce. Now, this story actually started in May 2011. So you may have actually heard about this. I don't know.
Okay.
But it's now getting a lot of play because a NASA official posted it on his personal page and said, and I quote, "I think we'll make contact with extraterrestrials sooner rather than later."
Hey, on my, just so you guys know, on my laptop, which we are recording on right now, I have the guy, and it says, I'm not saying it was aliens.
It was aliens.
But it was aliens.
The footage that he posted on his page, and the official's name, it just says a NASA official's. It's actually his YouTube channel. He has his own YouTube channel. The footage took place in 2011, and what it is they were taking shots of a NASA shuttle launch for archive footage purposes. And in that particular shot, you can see a shimmery white, they call it a spectacle or a vehicle, that's near the expended fuel tank that gets discarded. The shuttle goes up, the expended fuel tank falls off.
Yes.
And as it's falling, you see a shimmery white, it looks like a craft or an object or something.
Yes.
Never been explained.
I think the official, it's not that it was never explained. They explained it. They said it was like ice particles or something coming off the which everyone said that's ridiculous because it wasn't in an area or a time or a temperature where there should be ice particles coming off it at the altitude it was at.
Hmm.
And this is a NASA guy that released this.
Well, the footage has been around for a while. But it's mostly UFO conspiracy nut jobs. UFO nut jobs, like you.
So the NASA guy is now a UFO nut job.
Yes.
By the way, you know what bait to use to catch an alien, right?
What?
A single wide trailer.
So let's see, where are we going next? I'm
you
not
know
touching
what
that
saying?
One.
NASA astronauts will talk about things they've seen, and Shelley goes, they're all wacko.
This isn't it's a NASA administrative official. But the name is not given in the story, so I don't know who it is.
I know, but how many astronauts have said stuff?
I don't know.
Because you claim they've all gone wonky.
I don't know. I was subjected to that much zero G. Who knows? Okay, and finally, this story from Japan.
Oh, well, if it's from Japan, it's almost guaranteed to be wacko.
You can actually go and watch this girl's videos. Her name is Yuka Kinoshita, 32 years old. She posts videos where, and she's tiny, tiny little woman. She posts videos where she will consume in one sitting between 5,000 and 23,000 calories worth of food.
That's Thanksgiving.
Her latest video featured 5 Big Macs, 3 large fries, 23 McDonald's pies, and 3 large Cokes.
Yeah. And?
Well, she does this. This is like her
thing.
I'd have
had milk with the pie, personally.
She has thousands. She's apparently being a super eater in Japan is a thing.
Yeah, well, it's the one guy. What's it, Horahashi or whatever his name
is? Kobayashi?
The guy that's eating the most hot dogs? He's a Japanese guy, and he's a skinny guy. Dude, he's a little
tiny
guy. He ate like 111 hot dogs.
That's a lot of work
something.
To eat that many hot dogs.
Yeah,
it's like
dude.
Cardio. He has to train for that shit.
And it's like, but the amount of hot dogs, it's like you can't even imagine putting that much in you. I mean, it's like 111 hot dogs or something crazy like that. In like a really short amount of time, too. It's like 10 minutes or 15 minutes or something.
On her videos, she eats anywhere regularly between 5,000 and 23,000 calories. And as of this month, her videos have been seen more than 680 million times. People, she has fans. She has many, many fans.
And you know what? If she's got advertising on there, she is probably pulling seven-figure income off of that.
Now, this is weird because this is not in the story, but she also had a couple of McFlurries during this. She was dipping her fries in them. And here's the really important part of this story.
She's not dead yet?
The only reason that I might ever need to go to Japan is because apparently they have something called a tiramisu McFlurry. Really?
Ooh.
This is the important question I want answered. Why do we not have tiramisu McFlurries
here? That could take me out.
I'm like, really? Why do we not have this here? I feel neglected, and I think that we need to write to our Ray Kroc representatives.
For me, that's the same thing as flavored vodkas and craft beer. I didn't get to have those when I was out there using.
Me neither.
So now I'm not going to get tiramisu.
You could have had craft beer.
I'll talk about real, true, go to the brewery type stuff that they're doing today.
Yeah, because I mean, when I was in college, we were stopping at the Red Tail Brewery and up by San Francisco, past San Francisco, and we were buying. I mean, those were Red Tail Ale and things like that. You know what's weird about those? They serve those things. The beer bottles look like champagne bottles. I mean, they were huge. It was like a 28 or 32 ounce bottle of beer. It's just crazy.
And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy
Thank
news.
God.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Shelley.
Hola. ¿Qué tal?
Estoy bien, gracias. ¿Y tú?
Sí, sí.
Bien, gracias. Okay, so, Mark, we have a topic that's not flamethrowers, and it's not a Japanese woman eating 30,000 calories at a sitting.
No, but those things should go together somehow.
This is good to get good.
So.
Maybe that's how she cooks her food. She's got the pyro plan.
Why do we expect children to act like adults in the program? We call them babies for a reason.
Oh, you mean like teenagers?
No, or just like newcomers.
Oh. Oh, yeah, because they do say that like your relative maturity equals your age and sobriety.
When
you started getting loaded plus your years of sobriety.
Oh, is that what it is?
And you know what? Literally, like I got a guy, and he started getting loaded when he was young. I mean, he was like 7 or 8. And like mm-hmm. like doing hard drugs by the time he was like 8 or 9. Uh-huh. You know, like started out with weed or something. Yeah. And it's like, so you take that. He's got 6 months now, so he's like 8.5 years old.
Yeah, and probably acts like it most of the time.
Sometimes.
Pretty much, huh?
Sometimes.
Yeah. How does that work with periodics? Because, like, I drank for 8 months when I was 19, uh-huh. and then I didn't drink for 10 years.
Okay.
And then I drank for another year, and then I didn't drink for, like, 4 years, and then I drank for 1.5 years, and then I got sober.
I don't know.
Up.
So how old am I? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I know exactly. You're 31. 19 plus 11.
Okay. But these people come in, and for some reason, we go through, like, you know, read the book and work the steps, and they're doing all this, and we suddenly expect them to act like adults.
Right.
Why?
We've got high hopes.
They're called babies for a reason.
Yes. Actually, I don't call mine babies. I call them my sponsees. I've never called them babies.
I call them shithead, but that's just me.
Yeah, that's just
well, don't,
you.
Don't sugarcoat it.
No.
So
does he ever?
My well, sponsor used to call me, you stupid fuck.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure you guys, I don't know that you would have seen it so much in CA
right.
back in the day, but I remember going to the Alano Club when I was young 20s, and there were old-timers that had no problem telling me, shut up, I spilt more than you ever drank, you got nothing to say, look at you, you still got a watch.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear from you
yeah.
until you
and
get
some
time.
And they treated you like you were a child.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, they did.
Until you proved you weren't anymore.
You know, it's funny because the one guy, Big Book Mac, he tells me, look at you, kid, I spilt more than you ever drank. And I looked at him and I said, well, that's because you were a sloppy drunk because alcohol was too important for me to spill that much. And he looked at me later and he goes, that was a pretty good comeback, kid.
Yeah. Yeah, Big Book Mac told me that I needed to go home and make dinner for my husband because I was too young to be there.
He was a wise man.
Agreed. Hell
not,
yeah.
Not about that, but he was a wise man.
You know what's weird about him? He got 20 years, went out, uh-huh. came back, got 20 years again. Which is, you know, I anybody that has time and goes out and makes it back alive mm-hmm. and gets time again,
mm-hmm.
I'm awed by that. I mean, I'm awed by people that never go out, but it's like mm-hmm. to get that kind of time, the mental thrashing that must be to come back and say you're a newcomer. I can't even comprehend being able to do that.
You know,
unless you're just, you know, like we used to talk about, you're literally dying, and if you don't grab a hold again, you are mm-hmm. going to die.
Yeah.
And again, it kind of goes back to that thing when we talk about the babies. You know, here we go again. How many of these people, these babies that come in the program, should even be here to start with? Because that fits into the mix of this as well. We get lots of young guys come in that get in here for numerous reasons besides they want to.
Yeah.
You know, mom and dad send them. The school sends them. Maybe the college sends them. Work sends them. Any number of different things.
Yeah. And somehow we get stuck having to take care of them for a while.
Yeah, we're like the babysitters.
Yeah.
What do you think, Shelley? You are deep in thought.
Yeah.
I'm still singing this morning's anthem in my head because we got to sing Notes from Paul, which has an awesome tenor line. I love that song. Sorry. Digression.
Is it Notes from Paul Simon?
No.
Just
Notes
checking.
From Paul McCartney.
No.
You know he had a band before Wings?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Was it comedic notes from Paul Rudd?
No. What was the question?
Babies.
Oh,
Phantom
yes.
of the Paradise by Paul Williams?
All right.
It was Paul Anka, wasn't it?
Babies, children.
You know who it was? Pablo Escobar.
No. Hello. Disciple. We're talking Jesus here.
Paul wasn't Jesus.
Pablo Escobar.
It was notes from Paul.
He was buddies with him.
Pablo Escobar was Jesus.
He was buddies with him.
Anyway.
Jesus is the guy who does my yard on Thursdays.
You can always get a good joke out of that one.
Go ahead.
Because I was thinking of the meme with the two guys on the truck holding up the mattress, and it says, Jesus take the wheel, Manuel and Emmanuel and Wall hold on the mattress. Juan hold. That always makes me laugh. It's so politically incorrect.
We had a friend, so we don't sound like we're being racially insensitive here.
Which
but we
are.
Had a friend. We had a friend named Indian Chuck, and he's long since passed.
Yeah.
But Indian Chuck, his mother was white, and his father was Indian, and he
Native
looked,
Indian, not huh? Native American.
Yeah,
not Indian
Native American. And he looked very Native American. I mean, you would have never guessed his mom was white. And he says, he's got a family picture of him and his dad standing in the front yard with his mom. And he goes, we look like the gardeners. Because she's like this white woman in this dress. And he goes, they'd been doing some kind of work around the house. Uh-huh. So they're all kind of dirty. He goes, yeah, it looks like we're standing out there with our boss.
And you were.
Yeah, right, mom. So, Jelly.
Babies, why do we expect them to act like adults? Actually, yes. I don't often. Yeah. And part of that may be because most of my sponsees have been really young women. I haven't had women that, I think almost, except for one or two, I've all had college age or just past high school or something, like young. So expecting them to act like adults isn't something that I would normally do anyway because
Wiccan was older.
Yeah, she was one of the ones I'm thinking of. Because you're talking about women who don't even have checkbooks yet. Mm-hmm. So when I'm sponsoring them and they're going through their normal trials and stuff like that, there's a lot of age-related suggestions you can make as well as program-related suggestions because you've been through all that crap. So I have babies that are actually babies. So I haven't had...
Most of mine now are between 40 and 70.
See, the only one that I've had...
That's because of FA, though, right?
Right.
The only one that I've had that was older was the one who got pissed because I wanted her to come back and take a newcomer chip when I found out she'd been drinking the whole 2 years she said she had sober when she thought Cocaine Anonymous only applied to cocaine.
That's fine. That's her deal. It's her program.
God.
But it's not the program.
I mean, think about it.
Some program.
I know, but it says right in the literature, all other mind-altering substances.
I'm at Charter Oak.
All that is a group conscience.
And I think I mentioned this on the show months and months and months ago, but I was at Charter Oak. They said, is there any other birthdays? This woman says, me? I've got 13 years or 16 years or something, and I happen to have a 16-year chip. I give it to the chip girl. She starts to share. It's great. I've got 16 years, and I hardly ever drink now. Give me back my chip.
Indian giver.
I still remember the dressing down
I got
from the... No,
I sent it to the chip person. She hadn't given it to her yet.
I still remember the dressing down I got from the speaker at the CA meeting one night when I was filling in for the chip person, and someone was taking a chip for 3 years or 2 years or whatever, and I had heard her talking about drinking.
And then you gave it anyway?
No, I questioned she was going to stand up and take the chip anyway, and I questioned her all other mind altering substances. And the speaker said, "That is not your job. Your job is just to hand out the chips."
Oh, I remember that. Oh yeah, there was a kerfluffle.
How did I miss this one?
I don't know. It was a couple of years ago.
How did I miss that?
And the entire room went silent, and everybody's standing at me because most of the people, about half the people in that room, have been at one point or another seen me do a raving nana. And we're just waiting for me to go off on this guy. I don't know.
Yes,
and it was
you
some,
would.
I don't even remember.
It was some guy who spent half of his pitch talking about all the bands he used to be a roadie for or something like that back in the 70s. I can't remember what his name was. He was real tall and thin.
You know who it might have been?
Who?
We had him here. Was it him?
Johnny?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. And I have never seen him since.
Because I was going to say, he used to hang out with a lot of bands, right?
Yeah, but not as a roadie.
And the guy that was giving me the dressing down had just come back from a relapse. He had about 6 months, and his wife, who had like 13 years, was there in the meeting. And she later apologized on his behalf.
I remember that.
Remember that? Yes. Okay, you remember who that was? I don't remember his name.
And you know what? I was dumbfounded because I really... was expecting Shelly to like unleash.
How'd you not light him up?
I was standing
because
there. It was like silent.
I'm like, should I say anything? I'm like, Shelly's gonna light this guy up.
There was actually a dead silence in the room, and everybody was staring at me. While I calculated in my head how much drama I actually wanted to create in the middle of a room full of newcomers, and I decided I was not going to create that drama in front of those newcomers.
I think it was a drama.
Opportunity lost.
It was a conscious decision. But I should have said something back, because the reality was, in that circumstance, my responsibility was to the meeting.
My job is to give chips for various lengths of
sobriety.
If they don't have it, I don't give them a chip.
Well, right.
And
I should have, but I chose not to bring the drama, which...
And all of the newcomers in that meeting eventually thought it was okay to drink and still take a chip.
The thing was, I...
Actually, you mentioned it the next week, didn't you? Did you bring it up in your share? How you should have said something?
Oh, no. It was at the end of the meeting. I apologized to the group and said, I should have said something, and here's why. And I did say that. But that was the next week. But not everybody was privy to that conversation, because... He was having that conversation with somebody off to the side as I walked toward the bathroom. Or she was, sorry. So that was how I heard her talking about, you know, so. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, where were we? Babies.
Kids.
Well, and clearly, she's a baby. Because if she's not actually sober, she has no time.
Right.
So I didn't bring the drama because I didn't want to, you know, I treated her like a baby.
And you know, and I think the thing in this, because obviously people can be babies that are, you know, 60 years old, you know, if they're new in the program. Mm-hmm. But I think it becomes like double jeopardy when you've got you, because nowadays, and maybe it's because there's more meetings and recovery is much more in the news and there's celebrities and things that are getting sober, because there's a lot of young kids in. There's a lot of young kids.
Here's my poll question.
So when you got a lot of young kids who are not only babies in the program, but they're almost babies. I mean, compared to us.
So here's my poll question. Out of all the people that you observe in the rooms of recovery, what percentage of them do you think really, truly want what we have?
Want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, or no, just want what
second,
we have?
That's the second question. First, want what we have.
Oh, I think a high percentage. I don't know, but I'd say that there's a high percentage. I mean, there's probably 50% of them that want what we have.
And out of those 50%, how many are willing to go to any lengths to get it?
5%?
Do you think it's even that high anymore?
I think it's probably that high out of the total meeting, because if you look at statistics, we'll say that out of the total meetings, about 5% of the people stay sober. Now, and Michael brought this up, my sponsor Michael, I'm not giving his last name or anything, but he brought it up.
He doesn't care, by the way.
He brought it up the other day at a meeting where he said, you know what, the original 100 alcoholics, 50% of them stayed sober.
That was not him. That was Clint.
Oh, Clint. Okay, sorry.
Clint's the
big and then he said, and of the 50% that were left, 25% of them got sober for good after going out a couple times. And he's like, I don't get it. You know, that's 75% of the people.
And what did they all have in common?
They were dying.
No question about it.
Yeah, they were dying.
They were dying. They were in hospitals dying.
Do I get to answer the poll?
Go.
I was just wondering.
So,
because,
Shelley,
you know,
how many people want
how many
we
people
have?
Want what we have? I would say a much higher percentage. I would say probably 90%.
Okay.
The people that are willing to do the work to get it.
Are willing to go to any lengths to get it.
2%.
See, I don't think it's anywhere near 90%.
No, I do because most of the people that come in there, I understand that feeling of desperation. I need something. I want what they have. I want this recovery thing. Then they find out how much work is involved and they go away.
I think there's more than 10% that don't even think they're alcoholics or addicts.
I will tell you from my – A, I know I don't want what 75% of the people in the rooms have. I want no part of it. So – I'm not sure how many people would want what we have.
I think there's more
Nobody
than
wants what I have.
I think there's more than 10% of the people that don't even really think they're alcoholics and addicts.
I think the reason my number is so high is because when people first come in and they're in that first flush of desperation, they don't know us yet. Mm-hmm. So they want what we have because they think that what we have is, now that we're sober, life is all sunglasses and autographs, and it's not. but they think that's what they're going to get. Then they find out how much work they have to do, and they find out that life is just life no matter what. And then suddenly they're like, ugh, well, F that.
Yeah. I got clean and sober. Why does my life still suck? Because your life sucks.
Yeah, but what about the people that are like, go into charter? They're in there. Because somebody else put them in there. They don't even think they're alcoholics or addicts.
Yeah.
They certainly don't care about what we have because they don't even think that they belong.
Yeah, I think it's about 60% what we have, and I think less than 1% are willing to go to any lengths to get it. I just don't see
why is the success rate five times that, though?
It's not. I don't think it is anymore.
You don't think so?
How many two-year chips have you given out in the meetings in the last 5 years?
Oh, we still have the five that I bought 3 years ago.
Yeah, nobody sticks around. There's no time.
I think we gave away one.
That's kind of a misnomer, though, because that's a meeting that is full of mostly people that are in the sober livings. They get out of there. They go to other places. They go to sober livings and stuff. We rarely see them again.
You know what, though? How many years did you go back to Los Encinos and take a cake?
A bunch.
How many years?
Well, a bunch for a while.
And then how many years
I haven't been back there in a long time
to take a cake?
Every time. But see,
meeting.
For probably 7 years, I went to, I kept going back but I was still going. I went there for a long time. You know, I haven't been back there, and I think the last time I took a cake there, I probably had like 7 years.
Yeah.
So it's been, 21 years since I took a cake.
Yeah, but you came back for the first several years. I made a point of coming back there.
Yes, because that was my home group.
Yeah. So I
But we've had people that came back, people like our friend that's a radio DJ. She came back and took her cake. There's been other people that have come back and take cakes. But we don't, that meeting, we just don't give away a lot of cakes.
You know what? It's actually, I bought five chips trying to do the math in my head. I bought five chips because you got to buy them five at a time about 3-4 years ago. No, maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah.
We still have three. You know how I know? Because the only two that have taken 2 year chips in that time have been Christopher, who always comes back to take his chip there, and William.
Okay.
Who were you thinking of?
Must have bought them a long time ago. Because isn't William at
Megan
five now?
Megan only has, she doesn't have
she has
2 years.
Year, right?
She has one, yeah.
She'll come back and take it for 2 years.
So. She'll probably take the next 2 year trip there.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
What?
Babies. Why are they so baby-like?
Because you've short-circuited your entire growth system by firing your brain up on various substances, and you did not learn how to live.
Agreed.
I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer answer.
So, Mark, if we were going to say to people that are newer, who we would classify as babies, how they can be less baby-like. Like, what would you tell people? What do you tell people that are new and they're just,
quit whining and grow the fuck up.
Which is, that'd be good final words right there.
But I mean, that's the problem I have with the program today, and I've had it for a while, and I've voiced it many times.
It's not the same program.
It's a different program, and this program doesn't work.
The
program of recovery as it is portrayed right now does not work.
It's interesting because that feeds into what our four-part or three-part dumpster fire that we did.
I was
just started
thinking that.
Because I don't see the program as it stands right now making it another 20 years.
It's not viable.
No, it's not. Because people are going like, well, that's not working. I'm going to do something else. And we're going to have a infinitely decreasing return on our investment, basically.
Yeah.
And part of the feeling that I get from a lot of young and new people, young and new, they come in because they want to get sober because their lives aren't working the way they are now. There's too much work involved, and they haven't gotten past the point where they're still pointing fingers at everybody else. So they're whining because all this stuff goes wrong without seeing their part in it because they won't do the work to get to the point where they can efficiently look at their part in something. They can't do a 10th step. They can't get to that point because they're too busy whining about all the work and this is too hard. So they never progress to that point. They may actually stay in the rooms for 2, 3, 4 years or hang around for who knows how long. They just never get it. So, and I don't know how to solve that problem other than just keep doing what I'm doing.
Well, we keep doing what we're doing because this is what works for us.
Right.
You know, and that's why I tell people don't understand it when I tell them, look, I am truly being of service for me because I really, truly, truly, truly don't give two shits about you.
Yes, we know that.
Yeah. What if we took the thing about the people getting more time and staying around? What if we took that perspective and looked at a different meeting? Like most any of the meetings over at 667.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, there's a number of people that are gaining medium amounts of time there. Like as compared
and
to
what's the difference
a recovery
between
home meeting.
667 and charter?
Because
one's got
not,
a recovery hospital attached
not.
To it, and most and at least half of the people are from the recovery hospital.
What's the other difference? Shelley knows exactly what it is.
There's a bunch of time there.
Who will tell you exactly what the fuck you need to hear?
The people that are going to the 667, most of them, I would say, are there because they want to be there. The people that are at charter are there because somebody put them there. Yeah.
And that's what I was said earlier.
Yeah, the people at 667 are the Navy SEALs of recovery. And they really are. They're going to put you through it.
Well, but
and
see,
they're
that's...
not. It's like at the meeting on Thursday, Michael said, "You're in denial."
Yeah.
They don't. They're not going to pull any punches, and that's old school recovery.
Yeah.
And so the people who actually want recovery will stay there yeah. because they're having their covers pulled, yeah. and it actually feels good because you can drop yeah. that weight of having to juggle all the balls in the air.
This program changed the day Lee turned around to a whole group of newcomers and said, "You're all going to go back out and get loaded." And the counselor said, "You don't have to go to that meeting anymore because he hurt your feelings."
Right.
Program has never been the same since then, by the way. And it was an absolutely truthful and brilliant thing that he said, which I can't believe I'm attributing that to him.
Yikes.
But it was. It really was. What he said was right on.
Yeah. When I come back, if I come back here next year,
yeah.
none of you guys are going to be here.
Yeah. You know, and so, and I was like, what, how did they sissify our program?
I think that there are too many recovery centers, and they try to meld 12-step in with some psycho.
It's a gigantic group therapy.
But recovery centers aren't recovery.
Well, and we know that, but
we don't share it in there. You want me to come back? I'll share it.
I think I heard
piss off a whole hospital.
I think I heard somebody at Thursday night a couple weeks ago say something like that. It wasn't you or I.
Then it was probably from someone from 667.
Yeah, that said something, you know. No, it was a speaker. It was one of the it was Carl.
Speaking of someone from
667. It was Carl who yeah. said, you know.
Who, by the way, is a freaking great speaker.
Oh, man,
he's
I
amazing.
Love his pitch.
I, love
I could listen to him all day. Who said to the group, he looked right at the, you know, the dead zone, the
yeah.
wall.
Yeah.
And said, "You're here for treatment. This isn't recovery. Recovery is what happens when you get out of here."
Yeah.
It's a, yes, I knew I would remember.
Yes.
That's our Pomona mantra.
Yes.
So, Shelley,
what
would your final words on, what are we calling this one?
Wham. The Whambulance.
The Whambulance.
The Whambulance. Okay. I like that.
What are my final words? I don't know. Go to Mark. I don't have any yet.
Mark, what are your final words?
Grow the fuck up.
Yeah, which was perfect before.
I knew he was going to say that.
Jelly?
I don't know. You may come in as a baby, but if you want to grow up, you got to stick around and do what we say. Otherwise, you're going to stay a baby.
If you like what you're getting, keep doing what you're doing. If you don't like what you're getting, do something different. So, Shelley, who's the lead on music by?
The Evangelicals.
Sweet. So sweet.
Dude,
Try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Long as you've got love for me.